Bye-bye.
Is worth nothing if you ain't got more to stack it in. Some say the facts don't lie, but my pockets are empty, my stomach's rumbling and my mouth is dry. Some say others pass by, but it's the ones that pass away that make us want to stay alive. And so I say I cannot die, not why people rely on me to provide. And yes, I may stray from time to time, but my past always brought me back around to see the brighter side. I pray rainy days will stay away, because my umbrella is broken and the sunshine never stays. And so I lay my heart into every line, because without emotion I'm promoting nothing with these rhymes.
I know it's hard for you. You've been trying to make it right. I know it's hard for you.
Somber from the things that we've all been exposed. We're supposed to be searching for something we never really find. So we hustle and grind, trying to make ends meet all the time. I find the more you try, the more you fail. So either cry, better to step off stage and give them hell. And mama, I know you're crying because I'm out of my own. I can hear it in your voice when I'm calling you on the phone. But I'm not alone, trust me. Know that I got a home. And yes, my girl left, but my heart will never be stoned. So miss me, but please don't cry for me. When we get rich, you're gonna see how life can be. So let's rewind to a time when things were okay. Don't know I can make it happen, but I'll do what it takes. And know that I will always appreciate what you did for me. So keep looking forward to someday.
I know it's hard for you. You've been trying to make it right. I know it's hard for you.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network. Yo, it's been a busy weekend. Looks like it's going to be one busy week. I tell you what, things just never stop around here. Chat room is open for you guys who are listening. Jump on in and join in the live chat. Phones are open at 858-683-1326. And in Louisville, Kentucky, 502-805-0334. A lot going on. I'm going to address one issue right now, right out of the gate. You know, there is a lot of publicity out there right now surrounding the fact that, yes, yours truly, Ed Springsteen, was arrested on Thursday night. The rumors are true. I did get arrested, unlawfully so, in my opinion, and we will let nature take its course. I will tell you this. I am not going to go public with anything on this until after everything is completely done, and there's a reason for that. I do not believe in holding an entire police force responsible because of one cop who I believe is a rogue. That's just the simplicity of it. I have spent many years supporting the police in our community and their efforts because 99% of those police officers have good intentions and do a good job. However, that 1% we all run into occasionally, I ran into that 1%, in my opinion, on Thursday night, so we will let nature take its course. There will not be any publicity from my end on this, and, you know, I will hide behind my attorney. As bad as that sounds, my attorney has recommended I don't comment on this right now, you know, and I agree with that assessment. I don't want to do anything to harm, you know, the officers of LMPD, most of which I have a lot of respect for. So, with that in mind, I want to get that out of the way so we don't spend a whole show talking about what happened to Ed on Thursday night. You know, things happen. I believe I was victimized. We'll let nature take its course. Let the justice system take its course. I still believe in the justice system, and I still believe in LMPD. So let's move on from that one. And yes, I know, I'm already getting chastised in the chat room. Go to copblock.org. And, you know, a lot of people take offense when I tell them that 99% of all the police officers are good guys. You know, 99% is just my way of saying, I don't know what percentage is, folks. In my way of shaping, though, most of the majority of the police officers are very good people who are in it for the right reasons. I know, you know, quite a few of them on a very personal level. Some of them, you know, some of these young guys even played sports with my kids growing up, and they're like secondary kids to me. I know them well. So I'm not going to sit here and put any of those folks in harm's way over the rogue actions of one cop. So that's how that story is going to go. Let's move on, because I tell you, we've got an interesting situation developing for me anyway. You know, in the city of Louisville, we have received $3 million from the mortgage settlement money that was given to the state of Kentucky. Of course, Jack Conway comes into to Louisville today bragging about how he got us all this money. Well, Jack Conway's a liar. Jack Conway didn't get us anything. 49 state attorney generals decided to look for a mortgage settlement to get us money. Jack Conway just joined the bandwagon. Jack Conway was late to the game. Jack Conway didn't lead the charge for this mortgage settlement money. So let's let Jack Conway continue living in his delusional world where he wants to convince the whole world that he did this for everybody because he's got that kind of power. It's a lie. The problem that I do have, with the mortgage settlement money is in the nature of the beast, the mortgage settlement money. The reason that there is any mortgage settlement money in the first place is because the banks illegally, through the LIBOR fraud and everything else that we're now getting into, they entered into illegal loan agreements and stuff like that. They illegally manipulated interest rates. They illegally foreclosed on homes. So the states all decide that they want to get this money from a mortgage settlement because they've received a crisis of all these homes sitting on the market. Well, that sounds well and good. I've got one question. Who is settling with the homeowner? Who is settling with the homeowner who just got illegally kicked out of their house? The mortgage company is giving money to the state, but who is protecting the homeowner here? Because what we don't see here is any of this money going towards the homeowner, trying to help them keep their home, get their home back, or hold the banks and the mortgage industry accountable for these faulty loans and the other illegal things that they did. Instead, I see Mayor Greg Fisher out in the city of Louisville sitting out there with Attorney General Jack Conway and telling the whole world that this will allow the city to even foreclose on 700 more homes. Now, I understand the 700 homes that Greg Fisher wants to foreclose on are already vacant homes. I totally get that. They're going to be able to demolish 75 of these vacant homes. I totally get that. They're going to be able to get a revolving loan fund with the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. I totally get that. All by design, to get rid of these blighted homes that are having an impact on Louisville, making neighborhoods look bad. But, what about the homeowners who lost those homes that allowed these guys to be in this situation in the first place? That is alarming to me. That is totally alarming to me because nobody, the government says that they put together this program, this HAMP program, the Home Affordable Modification Program, that is supposed to be out there helping these homeowners enter into a modification program that's going to correct all the injustices done to them. That is not developed. Less than 5% of the people who have entered into the HAMP program have received a loan modification. The majority of that money and the majority of that time is spent on paying lawyers and processors to do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Instead, we've got hundreds of thousands of homeowners across this country who have lost their home to foreclosure or are in the process of losing their home to foreclosure, and the states are taking in all of this money. Kind of reminds me of the tobacco settlement. Does anybody remember the tobacco settlement and what was going on during that situation? Kentucky said, hey, we want some of this money. This is free money. The tobacco companies are going to have to settle because they lied about the dangers of smoking. I don't want to break anybody's heart here. I'm a smoker, and I'm disgusted with the way the whole situation has been portrayed. The only thing the tobacco company didn't come flat out and say is that they added nicotine to the cigarette. Well, okay. But since at least the 1960s, I can recall where they have said smoking is going to kill you in so many words. Smoking is going to kill you. Well, we know this. It's not that the tobacco companies were saying that their products were great for us. They never did. But Kentucky, we rely on tobacco money. We rely on tobacco money in Kentucky at the time. You know, we have Brown and Williamson and all these other guys have all these tobacco farmers and things like that. Kentucky said, oh, no. We want to get our share of the pie. We want to get our share of the pie so that we can spend this money any way we want to. So they got into an agreement. They entered into the tobacco settlement. What happens? Our tobacco business moves to North Carolina. What did that do for us? Not much. Just cost us some jobs. So it's one more way Kentucky was too short-sighted to do the right thing and take the money and run for their own agenda, the politicians on both sides of the aisles, folks, the Democrat and Republican, and cost Kentucky jobs. Now, what we've got here is a similar situation with the mortgage industry. The mortgage industry got caught lying and manipulating, which is basically what they accused the tobacco companies of doing. What happens? Why, the states are getting paid. The states are getting money from this so-called settlement, and they're using this money for whatever they want to do. In our case, we're using this money to clean up vacant homes. We're going to destroy 75 vacant homes and try to rehab 700 of them out of the approximately 7,000 that are in existence. But that's $3 million that should go to modification programs or should go to helping the people who are in foreclosure keep their homes. That's what it should be going to. When you talk about a mortgage settlement, in effect, I'm saying that the mortgage settlement should be used to do nothing more than satisfy the mortgage requirements. And unfortunately, our government leaders do not believe in that. All they believe in is sticking their hand in the pie, getting their share of the pie, and moving on with business. You know, and that defies logic to me. It really does. I cannot understand why we continue to allow that mentality that our government takes the money that is supposed to be set aside to help the people who were screwed over. That would be like me going out and winning a lawsuit. Hint, hint. That would be like me going out and winning a lawsuit and taking all that money and letting somebody else walk in and take that money. Why not let Uncle Sam walk in, take the money I win in the lawsuit, and spend it putting flowers in front of the courthouse? You know what I mean? I suffered damages, but I won't be able to be rectified for that. I won't be allowed to, because the government says I shouldn't be. That's alarming. That's just one more way that government interference and government control is destroying America, in my opinion. You know, I want to hear yours. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Call us at 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334. And we're going to get into a few more stories. We're going to get into the MSD board approving a 6.5% rate increase again. Preservationist group is having some problems. And a UofL police officer was found in contempt of court. Imagine that. We'll talk about those stories and more when we get back. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network.
Hey everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
And let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government
can.
The government.
fathers roll over in the grave, the government.
It's by comedian Tim Hawkins. You can read about or listen to that song and a bunch of other ones at timhawkins.net. I tell you, this song really tells it all. I've got to tell you guys, I should have already mentioned this, and I apologize. Ed Martin will not be joining us tonight. He had prior commitment, a family commitment tonight. I honestly didn't know about it until right before we went on air, and so I did forget to tell you guys that, so I apologize. If you got some comments, don't forget, you can call in 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334. Back to this whole settlement. I'm sick of these governments, these states, making settlements with anybody. I don't care whether it's tobacco settlement. I don't care whether it's mortgage settlement. I don't like the government making a $20 billion settlement with BP over the gas spill, the oil spill. Because the government is taking money for something that affected us, we the people. There's a mortgage problem here. There's a mortgage settlement and a mortgage foreclosure because the government, screwed up. They allowed it, but the government is getting reimbursed. But the people who are actually hurt are still out of their homes, out of their investment, out of their money, and by now out of their minds. That's the problem I've got with all this government settlement stuff. If the government wants to settle because of some alleged wrongdoing, great. Then put that money back in the hands of the people who were screwed in the process. And that's exactly what we've got to deal with when we talk about this mortgage settlement. I don't like an attorney general who stands up and says that he did anything and he's the reason we're here. Come on. Get over yourself. 49 attorney generals stood together and wanted a mortgage settlement, and that money got split up between 49 states. But the reality is that none of that money should go to the state. All of that money should go to the people who were harmed in the process. And we're not allowing that to happen. And that's a big concern for me. I do want to move on to a couple other things because here's another concern for me. The MSD board today approved yet another 6.5% rate increase. This is the fifth year in a row that they've done a 6.5% rate increase. And 6 years ago, they did a 33% rate increase. Now, I don't know what you guys think about this, but, we have talked repeatedly, and you guys can go to LouisvillePolitics.com or go to EdSpringston.com and check out MSD and the real story about MSD, their debt, the interest rate swaps, and all the other things that are bankrupting municipalities across this nation. Birmingham, Alabama, we have talked repeatedly about Birmingham, Alabama going into bankruptcy. At the time they went into bankruptcy last year, it was the largest municipal bankruptcy in history. And it was all because of MSD debt. Interest rate swaps and faulty lending and borrowing and swaps back and forth due to a manipulated, illegal LIBOR. LIBOR. That's it. They manipulated the rates. They lied to the people to take these damn interest rate swaps, including these cities, and they went bankrupt accordingly. It's the same situation here in Louisville today with MSD. MSD is continuing to get this rate increase. And, oh, by the way, now we want to merge them with the water company, who is 100% owned lock, stock, and barrel by the city of Louisville. What's that going to do? Let's go to the phones. Paul, you're on the air.
I am, and this Hi, MSD buddy. Story is a very timely story, guys. Very simply, our mutual acquaintance, Mr. Ray Pierce, who is the president of Stop Invisible Taxes, went to the
He's also an elected member of the Soil and Water. Go ahead.
He is a soil and Jefferson County Soil and Water supervisor. So, but he went to that meeting today, and one of the presenters had a graphic that was flat out misleading. I mean, major league misleading. You referred to the 33%, the period of time where they jacked the rates up 33%.
Yep.
Guess what was either, and again, I'm having to go on Ray's version of this. That 33% rate hike on this graph, on this bar chart, was either not there or intentionally misleading. It was represented in a way that it didn't look like it was any big deal.
Right.
And Ed, you've heard me talk about that has been the normal pattern of behavior for MSD. They even do that in their annual reports. There are untold numbers of intentionally misleading information in their annual report. So if the moral to your story is don't trust MSD, you are dead on in the bullseye.
Well, I appreciate that. That actually is the moral of the story, because we have run into these problems for many, many years. As everybody knows, you know, this is Paul Holliger with Stop It. But as everybody knows, you know, we met up, what, Paul, 7 years ago or something? And we came together over this MSD issue is how we actually got involved. And I was alarmed at some of the information that you and Ray were showing me even 7 years ago when I made the decision to run for mayor of Louisville. And what's happened in the interim has alarmed me even more, because, you know, we've already had at least one audit that said MSD wasn't being truthful in their reporting. And yet again today we're seeing more evidence that they haven't learned anything from that audit. I mean, you know, originally the Crit Llewellyn's office allowed them to do their own audit. And then after getting backlash and a public standing up, Crit Llewellyn's office actually did an audit and identified problems. And none of these problems are being addressed. You know, since then, Bud Chardin was forced to step down. He had to step down. And what did Greg Fisher do? Mayor Fisher appointed Greg Heitzman, the Louisville Water Company director, as a temporary director of MSD, and they immediately started trying to push this merger talk. But none of those problems have been taken care of, addressed, or even attempted, have they?
No. Let me bring two little factoids out again, one of which you know about, one of which you don't know about, Ed. The one that you may not know about is Ray Pierce has been working diligently on getting this so-called consent decree reexamined. He brought up an excellent point today in this meeting, and that is that the signatories to that consent decree, not a single one of them, not a single one of them are any longer connected with MSD. They've all either retired voluntarily or been asked to move on, or they were not reappointed. So the point is that this consent decree, which MSD continues to hide behind as the reason why they're doing what they're doing, and they're saying they're being compelled to do it by this consent decree. Ladies and gentlemen, and I will tell you, the whole, by definition, a consent decree is a mutually agreed to course of action. In other words, nobody, not the EPA, not the federal government, not the Commonwealth of Kentucky, forced MSD to do anything, and they continue not forcing them to do anything, as is evidenced by MSD's blatant failure to make any significant progress on the original problems of stream pollution caused by their leaky sewers, and that's called combined sewer overflow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not making any significant amounts of progress on that, but yet we're getting rape barrel projects, we're getting tree planting projects, we're getting pervious pavement projects, all being funded by MSD's money. But we're not getting sewer overflows addressed to the on the scale that they need to be addressed in order to meet the deadlines. So,
and what makes that alarming, though, Paul? What makes that alarming, though, Paul, is the projects that you're talking about that they are funding, like pre-tree projects and stuff like that. Wouldn't those normally fall under government's parks department and their responsibility?
Typically, in most cities, tree planting projects are either a private organization, such as the Arbor Day Foundation, okay, or a school. A school might undertake a project like that with a little assistance by the city government. But, yeah, most of the time that would be either a parks department or a public works department. And especially in Louisville, Ed, with Greg Fisher and the environmentalists are pushing him successfully, I might add, to establish all kinds of things, including a tree commission. Again, I think that is more properly the jurisdiction of the city and not of the sewer agency.
And see, and I agree with you. And most people I know agree with you. And we've got an example right out here in our neck of the woods in southwest Louisville, you know, the Bridge to Nowhere. Explain to everybody about that project, if you will, while you're here.
MSD has spent a grand total of more than $400,000 on a wooden footbridge that crosses a deep drainage ditch in a heavy commercial sector of Dixie Highway, just a little bit north of Greenwood Road. And if you walk 150 feet beyond this bridge, you come to a street. And you can get to the other side of the ditch on the street 150 feet away. And they are, and that had MSD money, and they're touting this as bringing all sorts of benefits to the collective project called the Consent Decree, such as it will reduce the runoff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that property was a field, no pavement, no impervious portion at all. Nothing. But now MSD has added a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't absorb water, like regular groundwood, and has made that particular tract of land even more prone to runoff. So their stated reason of reducing runoff is just flat-out lie. Flat-out lie.
Exactly.
And so that bridge sat there, built in a vacant field for almost 2 years with weeds growing up around it. And MSD is getting away with selling this crap as being making progress on the consent decree. Well, if the consent decree could be agreed to, that means that it can be changed. And that's exactly what Ray was advocating today in the meeting. He wants the new bunch of MSD board members, and every single one of them, all seven of them are brand new, and we've got a new executive director. That whole bunch has the ability and the power to re-examine that consent decree if they so choose. And so Ray is working on that, and I hope he succeeds, because that consent decree that they're hiding behind is not being done. And if it's not being done, but yet MSD continues to use that as one excuse after another to jack our rates up, we got to stop them. And that's part of the reason why Stop It came into existence, because of MSD's unrestricted increase in rates year after year after year.
And, you know, and that's exactly it, because Stop It stands for Stop Invisible Taxes. And one of the things that we've always, you know, done with this show and with the activism that I do is we try to identify those invisible taxes. And I've been able to do that working with you guys in the case of MSD, because you guys brought it to my attention. I didn't even know that existed 7 years ago. I was that alarmed when you guys brought it to me and we talked about it. You know, but what's fascinating here, though, is we look at MSD, 33% rate increase 6 years ago. For the last 5 years, a 6.5% rate increase. Why 6.5%, folks? Because if they go to over 7, they have to get Metro Council approval. The Metro Council approved 33% one time 6 years ago. I don't think they're willing to put their political clout on the line to do it again. And MSD knows that. Now, here's the thing for me, because now we're talking about the interest rate swaps, all these illegal bonding and all the other stuff that's going on across the nation, like in Jefferson County, Alabama, Birmingham, if you will, you know, the same exact problems we have here. MSD still has not admitted that they have a $4.2 billion debt, including interest. Their debt service is about $4.2 billion, which is identical to Birmingham, Alabama. Excuse me?
It, Let me tell you where we're at right now. Right now, when we first got into this a few years ago, 7 years ago, the mm-hmm. debt service was $2.6 billion.
Right.
Since then, it has swollen to $2.8 billion, and now they've actually paid that down a tiny, tiny bit, so the debt service is $2.7 billion. Now, where you got your $4.2 comes from this. That $2.7 billion in debt service does not include the $850 million that they say they need to raise to complete the consent decree. Well, so that still doesn't get us to 4.2, but when you realize that for every dollar that MSD borrows, it has to pay another dollar back in interest, that $850 million quickly becomes $1.6 billion added to the original $2.8 billion, puts us right around $4.2 billion in debt service. And that's what we're going to get stuck with if we don't rein these people in.
Which is that's exactly where I was headed. You were explaining where I was headed at, and that's exactly it. You know, so we're looking at this incredible debt. It's already bankrupted Birmingham, Alabama. You know, the interest debt swaps and all the problems with J.P. Morgan Chase and a whole host of others who are illegally forcing these swaps on these municipalities. That's where we're at, which brings me to the next problem we've got, Paul, because this is the thing that concerns me most of all now is the possibility of this merger with the Louisville Water Company. And I tell you, I don't know if you would agree with this or not, but they want to merge MSD with Louisville Water Company, in my opinion, so that they can manipulate the books even further. Louisville Water Company supposedly is a private corporation, even though it is 100% owned, lock, stock, and barrel by the city of Louisville. Okay, they can run this through the Louisville Water Company, a private corporation, and maybe shield more financial data. Is that a possibility?
No, that's not just a possibility, Ed. I think you've nailed it on that point. The Louisville Water Company has consistently had a surplus at the end of every operating year.
But they raise their rates every year, too. That's how they get that surplus. Go ahead.
And so this surplus, I'm sure that Greg Heitzman, in his infinite wisdom, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, has decided that he can move some of that surplus and help make the MSD financial problem look less severe than what it is. Ray found out in an MSD board meeting that was held last week, but this week's meeting, today's meeting, was a special meeting. But in last week's regular meeting, it was revealed by the MSD folks that fully 40% of all their revenue is being used to pay on debt service. 40 mm-hmm. cents out of every dollar is going to pay off loans and bonds, which means they have only about half of their revenue in which they can do anything, and that includes the borrowed money from past bond issues. And these people have got – we mentioned 7 years ago that there was – MSD was a financial ticking time bomb.
Yep.
It's ticking even louder, and the ticking is actually speeding up, and it has the potential – to explode all over us and our personal households, okay?
Yep. And that's the thing. We continue to look at this situation, and things aren't getting any better. You know, our fees, the capacitor and stormwater drainage fees for residential customers have basically doubled since 2005. That's in less than 7 years, folks. In 2005 was when MSD voluntarily, that's the key here, they voluntarily entered into the EPA consent decree in 2005, and they signed a $500 million agreement. And what was that agreement to do? To greatly reduce its sewer overflows into the area creeks and the Ohio River. And, of course, 4 years later, they changed that to $850 million back in 2009. But, you know, by definition, it's supposed to be going solely to reduce the sewer overflows into the creeks and the Ohio River. And as Paul, you just pointed out, they're not doing that. They just created more overflow in a $400,000 Bridge to Nowhere project, didn't they?
They didn't go. That project did zero to help address the issues. And, in fact, a good argument could be made that it actually is contributing to the problem. Okay, but it was done for political reasons. It was done in what Metro Council district was that?
Oh, gee, I don't know, 12?
That would be Rick Blackwell, who's been running interference for MSD for a very long period of time. So we've got a lot of Metro Council people that are complicit with this, and they constantly say that they have nothing to do with MSD. And that's a lie, because they are constantly having to decide whether to issue a new bond, which is, for folks who are not clear on the concept, a new bond is like a mortgage, okay? And that is, it is called bonded indebtedness. It's guaranteed to be repaid out of taxes and fees that the government entity extracts from the people that are subjected to it. But so MSD has had, let's see, they have had 13 bond issues. So think about your house, Ed. Can you go any place and get 13 mortgages on your property?
Well,
no.
Sure I can, but it wouldn't be any place I could report to the IRS, and it would certainly be a serious life-threatening situation if I missed a payment. I can promise you that. But that's the whole thing about it. You know, and Future Fund, we worked together with Future Fund here a couple of years ago. Future Fund had given us a lot of information, gave me a lot of information. And, you know, it's fascinating that, you know, MSD, without their interest, this is how critical financing is, folks, where you need to pay attention to the money. But MSD, without the interest, their debt load is 3.4 times that of Louisville Metro. If you add the interest into MSD's debt, the MSD debt is 8 times that of Louisville Metro, folks. 8 times bigger than Louisville Metro. The city takes care of over 700,000 people.
Yeah, this is one government agency carrying that kind of debt. How did that happen? The government of Jefferson County and Metro Louisville was fully complicit. You can name every Metro Council person that's ever been on there, with the exception of one person. There's only been one Metro Council person that has voted against any Metropolitan Sewer District rate increase, and his name is Doug Hawkins.
Yeah, and he was voted out of office for it.
Every single one of those Metro Council people that have come and gone have always voted for MSD bonding indebtedness increases every single time.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's very interesting, too, because when you put the numbers together here, guys, you got to realize 2 years ago, and I haven't done any updated information since then, but 2 years ago we were reporting that every 5 years until 2034, MSD is on the hook to send $500 million, almost $500 million a year to the bond houses. Three-fourths of that is just interest, folks, just interest. Louisville in 2009 had 713,000 residents. MSD only takes care of 226,000 of them. And this is the debt that they have on those 226,000. It's totally incredible. It's mind-blowing because go ahead.
Let's go back to what your question was that led us down this road, okay? The question was, in combining the Metropolitan Sewer District with the Louisville Water Company, are they going to have more places to hide stuff? The answer is a resounding yes. Resounding
yes. Definitely.
And I will go further and say that the local media sources, the radio, the TV, the print, every one of them has been complicit because an extremely important detail has been totally ignored by every local media person except one. And I'm going to give her credit for that. Jean West is the only local media person that has gone out there and said, oh, by the way, none of this can happen. This merger between MSD and the Louisville Water Company cannot happen unless we have major changes to state law.
Okay? I agree with you 100%. You got to give Jean West credit where credit's due. She did go on record with that. And, that actually gave me a lot of hope that maybe mainstream media to some degree would actually jump on board of this and help us try to figure this all out. Because, you know, up until now, you know, we had Dick Irby at Fox 41 a few years ago before he retired. Dick Irby was covering this story quite well, and Fox 41 shut it down, you know. And so the only people that have really been staying on top of this game has been Stop It and, of course, Ed Springsteen and Louisville News and Politics. So, you know, I was glad to see Gene West do that because we really needed an outside voice to add credibility. You know, a lot of times, and I hate to say this, but a lot of times when we do what we do, even though I'm 100% successful on every fight I've taken on, you know, you still have a credibility problem because people don't see it on the mainstream news. And that's the sad reality. I'm going to go to the phones, Paul. You're online and you're live, Paul. Don't go anywhere. Andy Hodges, my friend. How are you, sir?
Hey. How's everybody?
Not too bad. We got Paul Holliger on the line as well. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Paul, look here, man. I sent, hey, did you get that text I sent you?
I actually don't have my phone with me right now, brother. I don't carry my phone with me in the studio. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Paul, let me tell you. Let me give you this information. You can go to the Atlantic Monthly, October 1, 2011, and this conversation that we was having about the NCAA, they wrote an article on it calling it Shame on the NCAA, Slavery in College Sports.
And that was where? That was what? The Atlantic?
The Atlantic Monthly. Yes.
Okay.
October 1, 2011.
Okay, so go ahead. Where are you going with this?
I just want to share that with you. Now, this MFP thing is fascinating, guys. Here we go again. See, my question is now, once again, me being been here 20 years and I've always heard the rumors, I always heard that MFP was not an official part of Metro government, that it was a separate entity.
It is a state chartered, a state authorized. They call it a quasi governmental agency, but yes, it is run apart from Metro. However, the way the statutes are written, Metro has influence on who gets appointed to the board and who gets appointed as CEO. Go figure
and
that.
And that's the Metro mayor. So the Metro mayor essentially is MSD because the board makes all the decisions. The director makes all the decisions, and the person who puts them in that position is the mayor of Louisville. So the mayor of Louisville does have all the control with MSD, regardless of how the state sets it up. That's another fascinating thing, too, Paul and Andy. I mean, we really got to get to this because, you know, it's alarming to me how many of these positions are entrusted to one elected official. The mayor can literally appoint to any board he wants to. He has all the appointment authority to just about every board there is. So he can literally control the direction of anything and everything that goes through the city of Louisville. And the same happens at the state level with Governor Steve Beshear. I mean, does this give us any kind of transparency or accountability options whatsoever? I don't think so. I think this harms the process.
Well, to be honest with you, right now, most people, if you went around and asked them about these agencies, the water company, MSD, what's the other one? It's another one. MSD is going to merge with the water, sewer people, right? The people that
right. They're talking about MSD and the water company merging, yes.
Right. Now, once again, do we own the water company?
Yes.
Well, then somebody's lying because they put stuff out. It's written paperwork. I've read things that said one time Louisville had the opportunity to buy the water company, they didn't, blah, 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 blah. And they get that stuff out when they talk about that, you know, the water tower down there, River Road, all that stuff.
Yep.
So that's a lie. It's not independent.
You're absolutely right, and Greg Heitzman, who is the director at the Louisville Water Company, is also the director of MSD right now. It's supposed to be a temporary position, but Heitzman is actually in charge of Louisville Water Company and in charge of MSD, and to me, that creates a major conflict of interest as well. You know, so there's a lot of big things here that don't make sense. Now the good news is that there's going to have to be changes at state level before they can even consider this merger. Is that correct, Paul?
That is correct, and one of the things that we've got going for us and the citizens of Jefferson County has got going for them, believe it or not, is the fact that in order to make this happen, there's got to be a lot of rural county legislators decide that this is a good idea, all right? Because this type of arrangement will impact their counties as well.
Yep. And we just went through this with this regional wastewater plan last year, remember?
Well, the regional wastewater plan is going to be a little bit different insofar as the state law goes.
But the way it was written, well, the point I'm trying to make is, though, the way that the regional wastewater plan was written, it was essentially going to give MSD power to move money away from other districts and bring it into MSD right here in Louisville if they wanted to. That MSD, the person who was going to appoint the director of this regional wastewater plan would be the person who had the largest sewer district.
That part of it, yeah, but there wasn't going to be, what was lacking in that and still is lacking is that there's no contingencies for merging water operations and sewer operations in the regional plan. Okay. That's what's missing.
Anyway, right. Go ahead.
Anyway, this is a behemoth, and we're going to have to work and find out where the rural county legislators are on this kind of an issue and find out if there's sufficient opposition to this, because it will impact them. Whatever's passed is going to deal with water companies and sewer companies in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Those are two separate sections of Kentucky Revised Statute.
You're absolutely correct. So go ahead, Andy.
Okay, Paul, I got a question. I've been listening to this stuff, you know, halfway for the last couple of years. Didn't Georgetown, Indiana, reach out to us to the water company for help because their system was on the verge of collapse?
You mean reached out to the Louisville Water Company?
Yeah, because Georgetown, Indiana seems like their system is old or was being overwhelmed, and they were reaching out to Louisville for help. And I know Simpsonville a couple of years ago. Their council people were talking about having Louisville Water come down there and do some stuff.
Yeah, it could have actually been Georgetown, Kentucky. Because it's in that
Across the bridge. I mean,
I'm not sure
Charlestown.
About Indiana. I'm not sure about that because when you cross state lines, Andy, you run into all kinds of issues going from one state to another. So crossing county lines is relatively easy than crossing state lines. Relatively.
Okay.
That's why here in the metro area, if you go across the river, you have Duke Energy. On the Kentucky side, you have LG&E and KU, two different companies totally separated by the state boundaries. And the state boundaries means that they're operating under different sets of rules. But the water company has been extending service outside of Jefferson County within Kentucky on a regular basis. One of the cities that most people in Jefferson County know about is the Bullitt County town of Mount Washington. And the water company took a huge project out to the city of Mount Washington to help solve some of their water shortage problems. Okay?
Okay. So you know, we look at all this into play, though. I mean, and the fascinating thing to me is that I honestly believe, and this is going to sound really bad, and I know it and don't really care, but I think it's a done deal. I think they're going to find a way. I think that the state legislature is going to go ahead and find a way to change the laws that's going to allow this merger to happen. So when they do that, what happens next? Paul?
Well, I think, Ed, one of the underlying assumptions, and you kind of touched on something, I think a large number of people always assume when they talk about passing this law or that law, and that is that the law is constitutional and will pass muster. If you look back on all these laws that get passed, initially everybody thinks that they're perfectly fine, they're perfectly legal. However, you always hear about several times each year how a particular law is challenged regarding its constitutionality. And in a large number of cases, the law is found to be unconstitutional. Okay? So these kinds of challenges don't happen often enough, and I dare say that a huge number of laws that are on the books would never pass a constitutional challenge. They're illegal laws, which means if they're an illegal law, we technically are not obligated to follow them.
We say that, but the reality is, and forgive me here, but the reality is we're going to follow them anyway. You know, most people aren't going to stand up there and try to file the lawsuits. For one thing, it's costly. And for another, people have just become apathetic, and they just assume that this is just the way it is and there's nothing they can do. So, you know, sort of changing that mindset, you know, what in effect does this do? Because for me personally, I see an out-of-control MSD. I see 6.5% every year for the last 5 years, and every year going forward at least another 5 years, regardless of what they say. I see that increase going on. Louisville Water Company continues to raise their rates and increases. We talk about Louisville Water Company having profits, but those profits are derived because of high rate increases, and those high rate increases are contrived by our metro government. In a sense, I believe that any dollar over operating costs in a Louisville Water Company is no longer a profit. It's an illegal scam to tax the Louisville citizens into paying for government projects because these guys aren't doing their job. Would you agree with that assessment?
Let me pop this question to both you and Andy. You ready?
Sure. Yep.
Louisville Gas and Electric and KU and most of the electric and gas utilities in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, along with the telephone utilities, not necessarily cable. Okay,
right.
let's keep cable out of this. But the telephone and power utilities, which are privately owned, fall under the jurisdiction of the Kentucky Public Service Commission.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay?
They have to answer to somebody. How come the other utilities, sewer and water, most of them, not all, but most of them statewide, do not fall under the jurisdiction of the Kentucky Public Service Commission, and certainly none of the cable franchises throughout the state fall under the jurisdiction of the Kentucky Public Service Commission. And, of course, whose rates are rising almost unchecked? That's right. Water rates, sewer rates, and cable television rates are unregulated, but yet power, electricity rates, gas rates, and private telephone company service is regulated. And while and where do you hear most of the complaining about? You hear most of the complaints about LG&E.
Yep.
And they're regulated.
You're absolutely right. And this is fascinating because back in 2008, I took on this issue as an issue. You can go to leoweekly.com and look that one up. I know they got an article somewhere on it. But back in 2008, Barbara Crowe, who was a spokesman for the Louisville Water Company, was defending, the dividends that get paid to the city. And she was defending that by saying that all the profits that are made by the Louisville Water Company go into the metro government's general fund. So we don't know where this money goes, right? And then, in addition to that, to defend the rate increases by the Louisville Water Company, she went on to brag about how the profits, the dividends, help fund city services like police and fire protection and road and park improvements. Now, I don't know about you guys. I live in the old county limits, and I pay a property tax that's supposed to fund my fire department. I get charged specifically a certain tax that goes to my fire department. So how can we justify this? If that is not telling us that this is nothing more than a backdoor tax by the city of Louisville, what else could be said to prove it?
Well,
Andy,
once again, y'all always talk about, we need to have clarity. We need to have this, sunshine disinfect bullshit. But see, people, anytime that you write a law that is purposely ambiguous, you should be charged with a crime. You should be charged with trying to embezzle. Because if you can't explain it to a damn 9 or 10-year-old, it's probably just a little too complicated. I mean, seriously. These people sit around and purposely trying to figure out ways to keep, to make you bored so you won't read something or follow its trail. Go ahead.
I'm in total agreement with you, Andy. I went so far in 2008 and this was verified by the paper, you know, that I went to Attorney General Jack Conway and asked for an investigation into the Louisville Water Company rate hikes, and of course, nothing was ever done about it. I mean, I don't know if it was investigated or not. They've never responded to my request at all, you know, which is alarming to me in itself, considering Jack Conway is out there trying to take credit for mortgage settlement money in Kentucky, but he certainly wouldn't touch an audit of Louisville Water Company with a fine-tooth comb. So, you know, you're right about what you're saying, but what are we going to do? Because here's what's essentially going to happen to me. If the Louisville Water Company generally takes a 4% raise every year, and I would think that's about average, MSD takes a raise every year of 6.5%, you're talking about roughly a 10.5% rate hike. If you decide to divide that by two and average it out after merger, you would think a 5% rate hike would be, you know, about right for a merged company. That's the average. You know, but I think what we're going to find here is that after this merger, we're going to continue seeing a 6.5% increase, but it's going to be across the board because Louisville Water Company and MSD are one entity. So they actually gain an extra 1 or 2 percentage points in rate hikes, which adds up to an extra millions of dollars a year that they can put into whatever they want to, because all the money through the water company goes into the general fund for their political will. So this is just another way, in my opinion, again, to get more backdoor tax money to fund what we're already paying for anyway. Paul, would you disagree with that?
Ed, I think you're calling it like you see it, and because that's the way it is. Our misleaders in this community intentionally deceive us, and we unfortunately for us, many of us in the community simply say, I'll buy what they're selling because I don't want to fight it. They just don't want to fight it because taking on a fight that size is exhausting, it's tiring, it's depleting, and they count on that. But here, Ed, let me take it even more fundamental than that. All right, what is it that gives these people the right to exercise such domain over the rest of us?
You know, I'm totally with you. What does give them the right?
No, I want you to tell me, why do they have domain over the rest of us?
Because we've allowed them to.
No, Ed. No. I haven't allowed them to do that to me. Okay. You haven't allowed them to do that to you. You haven't allowed it, but they do it anyway. So where do they think they get the right to do this kind of stuff?
If they're continually elected into office, they take that as the right to do this stuff. That's just the bottom line.
They take it. Okay, sure.
They do.
They take power. They take power and then use it the way they see fit. Okay?
Yep.
And that's the nature of power, Ed. Power is never given to you. You have to take power in order to have power.
The unfortunate thing about that is, to some degree, you know, we do empower them because we continue to elect the same people over and over, even though they are taking that power and using it against us, we are electing them. So to some degree, we're complicit in the whole scam. We really are.
Yeah, but you know what, those guys, I'd like to say this, and I agree with Paul, Paul makes no concessions. I heard that somewhere. But this is the thing, guys. MSD and Louisville Water, they work in an area that most people don't understand what they do. Okay? If you don't understand how that water gets to you, and what, because if you really think about it, they get a 6% raise. Hell, we've been in a drought. They ain't been handling that much water.
You know,
so,
I guess.
So I'm just saying, but they work in ambiguity. It's like people, but I tell you, an organization or a government entity, you talk about water and the water and the sewage. Look at the damn Federal Energy Commission. Those guys, I tell you, there's a plant there in Madison, Indiana that used to be owned. It was a part of the the Nuclear Regulatory Commission ran it back during the 50s. Those guys, You talking about some men in black? Them bitches show up and they can shut your shit down. And you like, the average person don't know what they do. The average politician don't know what they do. But they exist in their power. People use ambiguity purposely to keep you from knowing what they do.
Well, there's not much doubt about that, Andy. I agree with you on that to a certain degree. We got to wrap up. Andy, thank you so much for calling in. Paul, anything final, my brother? All right, I appreciate it, Andy. Paul?
No, I've got nothing else. Thank you for the opportunity to help educate the folks about how MSD does what they do. And as Andy so eloquently said, we can help make the cockroaches scatter by simply shining the light of day on what this group does. And we can get it disinfected. It may take a little while, but it is on its way. It's on its way.
Well, and I agree with you there, and I appreciate the phone call, Paul. And as we pointed out in this show, folks, I mean, sunshine is probably the greatest thing you can get in this world. You know, we have got to get the transparency. We've got to get the sunshine. In the case of MSD, in the case of all the other stories that we continue following on this show, you know, we're still not where we need to be. You know, people that have power, Paul's right, they take power from you. But at this stage of the game in our history, the people who are taking that power are the politicians. And when we look at politicians, they face elections. And who has the power at that voting booth? We do. That's where our power kicks in. And that's how we take power back. We've got to start getting accountability. I'm going to address this. I'm already getting emails like crazy throughout the show, getting IMs like crazy throughout the show on AOL at My View Matters. And, you know, I'm going to make this announcement one more time. I started the show with it. I'll go ahead and do it again. You know, yes, I was arrested Thursday. I have a lot of faith in the LMPD police chief, Steve Conrad. It would be very easy for me to publicize the events and everything else that went on in this. It would be very easy for me to abuse my position as public media and make this a spectacle. I'm refusing to do that at this time, based, number one, on my lawyer's advice, and based, number two, on my own conviction. Most of you guys know that I have spent most of my life, many, many years, supporting legitimate police officers. Now, I know that there's a lot of people out there who think that all police are corrupt. I'm not one of them. Even after what I went through Thursday, I am not one of them. I still have faith in most of the police. I have a large amount of faith in Chief Steve Conrad. I wanted Chief Steve Conrad to come here and even advocated for Chief Steve Conrad to become the next police chief, because I believe that Chief Steve Conrad is going to fix the problems that we have endured in Metro Louisville from some of these, very few, but some of these rogue cops. That's the bottom line. I don't believe that Steve Conrad likes any of that, and I believe that Steve Conrad is going to fix this mess that former Chief White put out there. So you're not going to hear any details on this case. Not yet, anyway. I'll reserve the right to do that later. But for now, based on my attorney advice and based on the fact that I respect most of the officers on LMPD and I respect Chief Conrad, I'm not going to make a public spectacle, and I'm not going to do anything that's going to harm the majority officers on the LMPD. I just don't want to abuse that power. I don't want to abuse that authority. You know, I believe in trying to make things better, not worse, as anybody who follows this show knows. I out the problems. I don't sit there and become part of that problem. I fix the problems that need to be fixed, or I get involved in the problems to try to fix them. And what I found out last week on Thursday night was that we've got a problem that needs to be fixed. And I will do what I can, and from a position that I think is fair. You know, Chief Conrad has been here 3 months. He's got a lot of work to do, and I am hopeful that this particular situation, he will do the right thing as well. We'll find out going along. But, you know, please be safe out there. You know, don't disrespect your officers, you know, the majority of which are good people. With that in mind, Wednesday morning, I want to point out one radio show, and I really want to put this out there. The Focus Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Look up The Focus Show with me, Sean Daniels. But Wednesday morning from 10 to 12 in the morning. It's a morning show, not a night one. I'll be part of the panel with that show, and they open up the lines to anybody and everybody. And we're going to have a serious discussion on Wednesday morning with Sean Gardner of the 2-2-1 Project we're going to have these guys, we're going to have an open discussion on race relations and race right here in Louisville, Kentucky, and maybe across America. And I think that's a very, very important show to tune into. Otherwise, I wouldn't promote it. So please, try to tune into that show if you get a chance. In the meantime, that's a wrap, folks. Have a great night. Tomorrow night, Ed Martin will rejoin us. Wednesday night, as always, Dale will be here with me in studio. Thursday night, TNT with Dale the Truth Gillespie. And, of course, every Sunday at 7 with Liberty Unbridled and Kim Moman. Have a great night. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Turn the ship to any sad mix, Nick. I wanna stick around, I wanna get my kick.